Blog Talk Radio.
Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be drawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal Radio.
I hope you're enjoying your Thursday football. This is Nash.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Late Night Talk. Before we get to the show, let's go ahead and tell you how to call in tonight. First, you're going to dial 347-850-8627. We have a 12-person caller queue, so there will be room if you decide to give us a call. Please do. We are anxious to hear from you. Also, text us tonight to submit your Shock the Jock submissions, or if you have a question, a little shy, you don't want your voice heard over the air, just go ahead and text us at 77948, type the word text, space, and then your message. Also, if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter or Facebook, you can find us at Jock Journal on Twitter or facebook.com/Jock Journal. So, Matt, you're watching the game with me, I see. Your fourth quarter, 4 minutes left. Seattle's up 20-3. Pretty good little stuff, huh?
I'm not watching it anymore, but yeah, I was watching it.
What'd you think?
I think, but here's the real question. Is Seattle better than we thought, or are the San Francisco 49ers way, way worse than we thought?
I think it might actually be a little bit of both. But the truth of the matter is that we're going to be talking about that tonight. That is our number one topic of the night, but we're going to get through the news first. So here's the news.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
And we are back from that jerk talking crap about us. Okay, Jet Safety says prepping for Tom Brady is like prepping for, you got it, Cousins. What the heck? What the heck? Okay, first off, we got, let me go ahead and kind of go through this article with you. This is on jockjournal.com, brought to you by Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. It's the ill-advised decision of whoever works for the, or used to work for the Patriots, to commemorate the butt fumble on Throwback Thursday resonated with the Jets. It's been more than balanced out by the boastful comments of Jets defensive lineman Sheldon Richardson and by the inexplicable observation of Jets safety Marcus Gilchrist. He says, you prepare for Tom Brady the same way you prepare for Kirk Cousins, Gilchrist told USA Today on Thursday. Okay, how does that make anywhere close to sense?
You know, this might have been taken out of context, obviously. What he was probably talking about is you're going to prepare, you're going to game plan the same for everyone. I mean, Tom Brady's just another quarterback. He's not, but what he's saying is he's just another quarterback. I'm going to prepare for him the same way I'm going to prepare for, you know, any other quarterback. I'm going to watch the tape. And I'm going to try and play my position the best I can. So this probably was taken out of context. But the Jets hate the Patriots. This is nothing new. They have hated each other for a long, long time. And this is not a new rivalry. They despise each other. So could he have had some undertones or some desire to take a jab at Tom Brady? Sure, they always do this.
Well, Gilchrist went on to say, and you did kind of hit the nail on the head there. You don't change, Gilchrist said. It's like turning the light switch on and off because it's a different person. Kirk Cousins could have easily come out there last week and we could have not played sound football and not been where we were supposed to be, and he could have looked the same way as Brady. We can't allow one game to be bigger than the other. Do we realize the type of player we're dealing against? Yes, we do. But you don't change. We've got to be 1-0 this week, regardless of who it is, Brady, regardless of who we're playing. And ultimately what he's saying here is, hey, look, it's another game, and we're going to bring the same level of intensity, and we're not going to change anything just because it is Tom Brady. He does have the respect. But what's happening right now is the media is saying, This is a big game. And in fact, it's Nash and Matt's game of the week this week, with the 4-1 Jets going into Foxborough to play the 5-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the New England Patriots at 5-0. This is a big game, and it has major playoff implications already, only in week 7. So yeah, the media is feeding into it, and the players are beginning to feed into it as well. And you're right; these two teams don't like each other. This is much a valuable rivalry as the one we're watching on Thursday Night Football tonight.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. Boy, how far we've come from a couple of years ago. But yeah, continue.
Well, there's also been some reports in the news today that the police were called to the Bears headquarters after Ratliff was released. Now, this is one of those that got me a little bit. He was released today, and let me go ahead and go through the article. The Bears releasing defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff was a little more than that. Basically, Pro Football Talk stated the release earlier from the Chicago Sun-Times that said Ratliff was escorted from the building Wednesday after an animated exchange, quote-unquote, with Bears general manager Ryan Pace. Thursday, Adam Johns of the Sun-Times tweeted that police were later stationed at team headquarters after the team security escorted Ratliff off the premises. What the heck? It's not like this guy's going to get his job back. He's like, you know, you made such a stink. I'm sorry. You're right. Come on back.
No, but here. I'm surprised. Hey, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. People take it like, oh, you got fired from a job. We got released or traded. And no one flips out. Good for him. He pulled a Jerry Maguire. I'm taking the fish with me. Who else is coming? Fuck you. I'm surprised more players don't just let people have it when they get released. You know? I've always wanted to quit a job like that, and I have. Not as vocal, but I have quit in some excellent ways, and I'm surprised more NFL players don't do it. And the team lets them go, good. I'm going to let you have it. General manager, you're an asshole. You suck.
I could go into the story about how one day I peed on one of my boss's desk after being let go, but I'm not going to. Big kudos to me on that one. Ratliff was in the final year of a two-year, $4 million contract that included a $600,000 guarantee. So he's going to be sitting on the couch with 600,000 reasons to enjoy the rest of the NFL season from comfort of his own living room. He's been a kind of a fringe player. Not quite the – I'm sorry?
He spent that money, let's be honest.
More than likely. But, you know, he's a fringe player. He's not one of those guys who is going to ever get a $10 million contract, but he's not going to be the last guy on a particular roster except for this week. John Fox has been cleaning house. It's been a fire sale. I'm sure that they've tried to send him off to some sort of trade, just like Jared Allen and the rest of people, in the work and effort to rebuild the culture that's going on in Chicago right now. But is this a sign that maybe the inmates are beginning to run the asylum? To have this kind of like eruption and outbreak, this is the type of thing that doesn't make him very employable around the rest of the NFL at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe he probably isn't going to get another job. But then again, I mean, teams get desperate. Look at some of the players. Alden Smith got picked up again. If a player can play and he fits a need, people don't, you know, we have all this talk about conduct and, oh, is this going to look bad on him? The reality is when a team needs someone, they don't give a shit how he acted. They pick him up. If he can play the
you're
position
talking,
better.
Huh? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you're talking about Alden Smith in the same breath as Jeremiah Ratliff. Yes, they're both head cases off the field. And yes, they show some major violent tendencies. But Alden Smith can play football.
Of course, and I'm not saying that he's anywhere close to Alden Smith. I'm just saying this. If a team gets desperate enough and he fits a need, they don't care how he acted off the field. They'll take him. If he fits a need, and that seems to be how the NFL plays and how the NFL rolls. So I don't see why, I don't think he's going to get a job tomorrow. But if a team has a need, they're not going to care about how he left Chicago. Chicago's a dumpster fire anyway.
In so many ways, so many more ways than one. As far as like players feeling disgruntled and upset, right now we have a new story out, and it's also found on jockjournal.com from Pro Football Talk. This was by Michael Davis Smith of Pro Football Talk. He says, teams are monitoring players' sleep habits, and the NFL Players Association is crying foul. I'm not going to get into the entire article because it is rather lengthy, but some of the teams, including the Eagles and the Seahawks, have said that sleep is such an important part of athletic performance and good health that they have an interest in knowing whether their players are sleeping enough. So they've begun doing little monitoring things right there in our like little wristbands and stuff like that that will help the players as well as the teams know how much sleep they actually got through a particular night. And they feel like it, the NFL Players Association says, hey, this violates the collective bargaining agreement. This is outside of your realm of being able to control or even take a look at. So a big middle finger to you for telling me how much sleep I should get. And as far as other jobs, as far as the only other job I could ever think of that I've ever had where they monitored my sleep was as an air traffic controller. And thank God they probably did. They required that I have at least 8 hours of sleep before I controlled traffic. And if I was going to be, you know, stuttering over my words or not being able to focus on the scope because I'm not sleeping enough, it makes for a very dangerous situation. However, this is not a life and death thing. This is NFL. I could see how the players could be upset. What's your take on this, Matt?
Of course the players should be upset. Look, if an owner actually cared about how someone was sleeping for health reasons, like they came to him and said, hey, buddy, maybe you have sleep apnea. You know, maybe you need this machine because I'm really concerned about your overall health and well-being. Then that would be one thing. They don't. This is a move by the owners to further commoditize players, and it's insulting to them. It treats them like a commodity. Hey, we don't really care because it's apparent they don't care how if they're sleeping because of their personal well-being. They care about if they're sleeping well to play better on the field to further the needs of the team, and that just further commoditizes them. And it sucks that the owners will continue to do this. I mean, the NFL is the new cotton. And that it continues, that they continue to just treat players like they're, you know, like they're pieces on a game board instead of actual people.
You said something very important there, and I think maybe you need a second to elaborate on it, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor. The NFL is the new cotton?
I don't want to make a huge thing out of this, but I really feel like the, you know, for all the case about race relations and how black people have come a long way, the reality is the NFL and the NBA is no different. The NFL and the NBA both do it too. You give someone a venue and an avenue to do something and make money, and the owners still treat them like a commodity, and they use them and they take care of them, and they don't have their well-being in mind at all. Look at the concussion protocol. If someone hadn't brought it up, we wouldn't have given a shit about the concussion protocol. What they care is that they're out there playing, making them money. And the scale is just about the same. The money the players make versus what the owners make is ridiculous, and it's astronomical what the owners make, and they could give two shits about the players. So they further commoditize the players, and they don't care about them. All they care about is they get out there and they make them money, and that's the bottom line. And the NBA is no different. We see the owners' mentality as well. You just saw in the NBA what happened, and though we haven't caught anybody in the NFL owners talking about their players like that, I'm sure it happens. And I guarantee that they believe that way. And it's they're not the only ones. Frankly, there's a ton of – we don't notice it, but there's a ton of things. There was a McDonald's commercial on last year, and I heard it all the time about, oh, my baby made it to the NBA, and he got picked. And then he took all his friends out to McDonald's, and he had a party. and it was the most racist thing I've ever heard, frankly. You know, first off, the mom was the only one talking. I didn't hear his dad say a word because the dad wasn't in the commercial, implying, where's the dad? He was never there. It was a single mother raising this guy, and he makes it to the NBA. And then further implying that he's going to go blow all his money, you know. And then she said, oh, well, he's cost conscious. He didn't go and buy a car. And it was just the most horribly racist. But no one bats an eye at that. We have just accepted that this is how these sports work. And you know, and then the mentality for the players is, it has changed as well. Some players stand up to this and understand what it is, and others don't. You have players that are saying things like, you know, I have a standard of living and I need to make this much money, and they're buying cars and doing this. And it's just like everyone's bought into this and no one really cares that the true scenario is it's a pretty egregious thing that's happening in the NFL and the NBA. And we're using players for entertainment purposes, and the owners are making money off it, and no one else cares.
And, you know, you made that comment about the McDonald's cliche sort of thing. Like, yeah, my baby got to the NFL. Time to get some McDonald's. At least they didn't say, hey, let's go on to KFC, huh?
No, it would have been just as racist. It doesn't matter what, you know, they weren't talking in stereotypes, but it was just as racist. The way she said it, it implies this. That no black person is ever going to be successful anywhere else other than getting and not going to make a decent amount of money unless they're drafted to the NBA or make it into the NFL.
Or a rap star.
And that's their only hope for actually getting something and making something out of their life. The commercial said that. I'm not saying, you know. But the reality is that's what it implies. I didn't hear someone go, I'm a doctor and I'm going to McDonald's. That wasn't what the commercial was. It was a stereotypical, my son made it to the NFL and NBA and now we can, you know, we finally have made it. And that implies that that's the only way to make it. And it's sad that no one said about that commercial aired forever. I didn't hear anyone throwing a huge fit about that. All the race relations and Black Lives Matter. No one said a fucking word about that commercial. And it ran all the time. Because we've accepted that as the normal.
We have. And that's ultimately where our culture has gone. Is these guys are essentially the modern day gladiators. And if you know anything about Roman Empire times, those gladiators were the slaves or sold into slavery or even sometimes used to take care of a large debt where they've basically given away themselves as a slave until their debt's paid off. So maybe these guys aren't coming in to pay off a large debt and maybe they're not being sold as slaves, but they are definitely giving themselves into a situation that is a lot more detailed and controlling than your average everyday run-of-the-mill jobs. You can't just get traded and be told, now you got to go live in Cleveland, of all the godforsaken places, one day just because somebody decided to sell your rights. It sounds a lot like a slave trade to me.
No way. Hey, they have a decision in all of that. You can choose not to play football. The sad part is a lot of our society says that that's the only way that you can make it is by doing something like that, and that you wouldn't have any other options if that wasn't the case. So there's always choices. And then you see these guys that have played and they're just beat to shit. I mean, you know, I remember watching a thing on Jerome Bettis after he got done with football. It took him 30 minutes to get out of bed in the morning. I mean, that's how wrecked his body is now. And, you know, I don't feel like anyone really can. I buy into it. I play fantasy football and we have a talk show about it. But, you know, I feel like sometimes the owners continue to push the boundaries of it. And if we don't say any more, people should be for the players and you know, what they're trying to do, because it's their safety and their well-being. And if we want the game to be around for very much longer, we should continue to uphold their rights as opposed to the owners and just continue feeding the owners money.
So, and guys, phone lines are open, 347-850-8627. This is a pretty hot topic. So we're going to spend a little bit of time going through it. And we do ask for your text as well, 77948. Type the word text, space, and then your message. You can also find us on Twitter at Jock Journal or Facebook at facebook.com/Jock Journal. Since we have no callers, we'll just go ahead and begin moving towards the other topic. And if people want to bring us back to it, we will go ahead and read your submissions and take your calls. Dez Bryant. Now, here's a guy who is putting everything he can for his team, for his master, at this point, to get
wow.
back out on the field
over
as fast as possible.
Over the line. That was
I have to segue somehow. So going from that topic to Dez Bryant,
though.
Very difficult, so I need to figure out a way to do it. Dez Bryant running and cutting at full speed now. The waiting game continues for Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant, but there are signs that the Cowboys are keeping the door open for Bryant to return to action as soon as Sunday at the Giants. Cowboys coach Jason Garrett told reporters that Bryant will work on the side at the start of practice Thursday. But Garrett said Bryant is running and cutting at full speed. What do you take for this? Is he playing Sunday?
I don't know if Dez Bryant, he's probably going to play. He wants to be out there and play. If I were them, I might wait and hold him out. I wouldn't want to risk him re-injuring himself to catch a pass from Matt Cassel when you could make – is he going to make or break the game? He's a great player, but is Matt Cassel going to be able to get him the ball in an efficient manner? I don't know. I don't know if I wouldn't ask him to, hey, make sure you feel 100% and wait a little bit of time. Is there a rush to get him out there to play in this game with Matt Cassel as the quarterback? I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, I don't see it that way. I don't think you need Dez Bryant rushed along and re-aggravating a possible injury, which could cause him to miss more games in the future against the Giants and their broken-down secondary and their horrible defensive line at the moment.
Exactly.
There's too many holes. You have enough on the field. You've already stacked the chips. Of course, Dez Bryant wants to be out there because he knows that those guys can't cover him. And if he's moving and looking good, he wants to be out there to possibly pull up 180 yards receiving and a couple of touchdowns and make somebody a millionaire in daily fantasy. But I don't think that if he's a good owner of this team, Jerry Jones allows Dez Bryant to take his opportunity on the field this weekend. It's not a good move because I've recently came back from my own foot injury. It took me almost 7 weeks inside of a cast and then another 3 or 4 weeks in a soft boot. It's not an easy thing. Now, I had a Lisfranc fracture, which is nowhere near what he has, but it's still a foot injury, and it could be a problem. We have a caller. So, caller, you were giving us you want to have something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just listening to what y'all were saying about the players kind of seeming like slaves and all that. I just want to say that seems like complete bullshit. I mean, they go in there, they make millions of dollars a year, and like Matt said, it really is their choice. So I mean, comparing them to slaves is just ridiculous. And also, I do want to say, what the hell's up with Kaepernick? I mean, he takes more sacks than that, a San Francisco gay pride parade. It's disgusting.
Okay, caller. Go ahead.
Well done.
Did you get that? Matt takes more sacks than – or Colin Kaepernick takes more sacks than Matt at a San Francisco gay pride parade. So, Matt, you just got slammed by a caller. But we'll go ahead and respond to that caller's statement.
No, I thought the beginning of the call made a lot of sense. I mean, and I want to reframe this. I'm not saying it's exactly like, obviously slavery is such a touchy subject for people, and I get it. But I'm saying that the owners tend to treat players like that, and they continue to commoditize them and devalue them as people and treat them like they're a commodity, like they're only there to make the owner's money. And the things that we're seeing continue to, you know, concussion protocol, it should have been instituted long before this, and then how they continue to do things and make decisions that don't really have the player's best interest in mind and only further the control of it.
Yeah.
Because Kaepernick does suck. I mean, that's clear. He's terrible. But if I'm correct, he took almost as many sacks as Russell Wilson. So clearly the caller is a little biased.
Yeah, Russell Wilson did take 5 sacks today. Colin Kaepernick took 6. But Michael Bennett seemed to be on him like white on rice. And that was pretty apparent. Cliff Averill with 1.5 sacks. And then a couple of half sacks by David King and Brandon Mebane on his return. Ultimately, we'll get more to the game here in a second, but ultimately I think the caller had a really good point, is that these players do make lots of money and they're well compensated for it. And ultimately they can make the decision and not be in the NFL. Last year we saw the defensive rookie of the year for the 49ers, forgive me, for Chris Barlin, just went up and retired after becoming a superstar overnight, filling in for Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman last year at middle linebacker for a good team, San Francisco team. He just decided after his rookie year and receiving Defensive Rookie of the Year honors to just go ahead and hang it up, retire. And that gives you an idea that maybe these players, realize that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. It's not worth the brain trauma. It's not worth the waking up slowly like Jerome Bettis, taking 30 minutes to get out of bed. However, that's about what it takes me to get out of bed these days. And it's a hard life, and your body does take a toll. And in fact, at one point, somebody said that the average life expectancy of an NFL player who's played more than 5 years is only 55 years of age. That's a pretty alarming statistic. As far as players who are constantly injured, though, let's take a look at Percy Harvin, who today said that he is interested or considering the thought of retiring. The talk on his retirement is beginning. He's got a personal hip issue. However, I think it's more of a malingering situation. I don't think Percy Harvin has the desire to play. Let me go ahead and get some of the points on this article. Basically, nothing's ever simple with Percy Harvin, as his latest hip injury absence has caused some will he or won't he retirement reports. But that might just be the beginning of the drama. According to Mike Garofalo of Fox Sports, the Bills listing Harvin as a non-injury related on their injury report for the day, and Coach Rex Ryan said he didn't know where the mercurial receiver was, could be setting the stage for a fight over money. Basically, if Percy Harvin retires, there's a $4.5 million signing bonus that he needs to forfeit and to begin to give up. This is getting pretty tenuous. It seems like the same thing that the Seahawks and the Vikings and even the Jets have possibly seen before they've gotten rid of him. What is going on with Percy Harvin? Is it a lack of desire? Is it a lack of grit? What do you see here?
Yeah, the guy's super talented, but it's a I like what you said. It's a lack of grit. Percy Harvin's been rather soft for a while, and he's always soft in NFL terms. I don't know how in reality how hard the guy is, but you know, in the NFL, he's been hurt a consistent amount, and he's never really been able to stay healthy. So why would you continue to put yourself through that? He should retire.
And ultimately, he's only 27 years old. I see this as being a situation where he's bounced around four different teams in the league. There's really no reason for this guy to continue having the problems that he's having. And it's easy to say, oh, my hip hurts. And let me explain a torn hip labrum for a second, because that's his hip condition. Okay. I suffer from the same condition. I fell off a truck in Iraq during a sandstorm, very bad sandstorm. And I was trying to pull my rifle out of the truck, fell out of the truck and landed on very hard concrete-like sand. If you know anything about Iraq, the sand turns into almost like a condensed concrete. And my shoulder was dislocated in the fall, and that hurt so bad that I actually didn't realize that my hip capsule as well as my labrum was torn inside of my hip. When I got back to Germany, and I began doing PT on a regular basis again, all of a sudden I started feeling this dead leg event, like almost like I couldn't feel my leg. It felt like I was, when I was jogging, like it was just flopping underneath me. And I went to go get it looked at. At first they called it tendonitis or all kinds of just hip bursitis, all kinds of just different things. Eventually they went in and scoped it out and put a large needle in my hip and put some dye in there and a painkiller, and they were able to localize it as being a torn hip labrum, and I went through the surgery. However, 2.5 months after my surgery, because I was feeling much better, and in fact, the doctors were like, whoa, why are you standing up and going pee by yourself only 8 hours after surgery? Well, the pain was gone. The pain was finally gone, and I was feeling much better. They said that it was the painkillers, but even a couple of days later, I was able to walk around relatively fine without much issue. Now, watching him spend a whole season with the Seattle Seahawks just basically malingering through that injury irritated me to no end. Now, I don't have Percy Harvin type speed. I've never been a 4.2 type guy, but at my peak, I was about a 4.6 type guy, and I didn't lose a step at all with the hip surgery. So coming from a person who's actually gone through a surgery, yeah, it can be a little bothersome from time to time. And in fact, my hip will pop completely out of socket, but it's not to the point where I would not go back to a football field. He's had the best surgeons out there, the same one who ended up working on Alex Rodriguez. This guy is not desiring to play football. He doesn't have the same wherewithal, the grit, the determination to be the best on the field every week, or he would actually be. Go ahead.
He's still pretty good. You've had it in for Percy Harvin since he sat on the bench for Seattle, and you have always had it in for him since that time. Let's be honest. It's similar. You've been through the thing. We have no idea what kind of pain the guy's in. So let's maybe cut him a little bit of a break.
Pop a Vicodin or something, man, and get back on the field. That's exactly what I'd be doing given the same situation. And that's why I get a little bit upset that he's throwing away a potentially powerful NFL career, been God-given all these wonderful talents and speed that just people don't normally have. And he's flushing it down the toilet with just the lack
he's
of determination.
He's flushing it down the toilet. He can choose to do whatever he wants to do. If the guy's ready to be done, he's ready to be done. Who cares if he's got all the God-given talent in the world? If he doesn't want to play or if he's hurt, then it's his choice to make, and he doesn't have to do it. We just had this whole discussion. No one should push him into doing it. And to tell someone just to take a Vicodin, geez, you sound like an owner. You should buy a team.
Hey, I'd love to buy a team.
You would be a terrible owner. Okay, let me tell you something. Nationally, the team. Sexual harassment lawsuit within the first 30 days of owning the team. Done.
Is my wife on the team? Probably.
Oh, so, it would be on your wife, not you.
I'm the trying sexual to figure harassment out what that
lawsuit. Means. The sexual harassment lawsuit would be against your wife, not you. Okay.
That's probably a potential with all those, good-looking athletic men floating around the area. So I'd probably try to keep her away from team headquarters. The ultimate thing here is that I have a real strong love for the NFL, and I have a strong love and desire. I had a desire to play at that particular level, though it never worked out for me. I was never that good. And it hurts me when I watch a guy who I know what he's going through as far as the hip condition. It hurts me to watch him give up on that based on what I'm seeing on a day-to-day basis. It hurts to feel it. can't read that text. It was grossly inappropriate. Okay, let's move on to break. Guys, we still have phone lines open. The number to call in is 347-850-8627. Please give us a call. Also, text your Shock the Jock submissions to 77948. Type the word tech, space, and then the message. Here we go to break.
Cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and 2 nights.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community. without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's JockJournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's JockJournal.com.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
Welcome back. Got a few texts over the break, but the phone lines are empty. We're going to be talking about the Seattle Seahawks game tonight with the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to be breaking that down. But please, give us a call at 347-850-8627. And I just got one text on the text line that says, tell Matt that I want to be a slave. I don't think Matt's back yet.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm back. I don't even know what to say to that. You want to be a slave with so many Okay, good for you. Go be a slave or come over and mow my lawn and I will throw things at you while you do it.
Like what? What would you throw?
Rotten fruit, anything. Something to amuse myself. If someone really came over to do that, and if we get bigger and someone actually does that, I'm going to videotape it and play it on here so people can watch me throw fruit and vegetables at someone while they mow the lawn. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, if you go to Twitter, you'll be able to watch at JockJournal on Twitter. You'll be able to watch Matt throwing fruit at somebody mowing his lawn. He didn't allow them to wear much clothes. They had to do it completely in a bikini. So tonight, the San Francisco 49ers totally got trounced by the Seattle Seahawks. It looked like the game got away from already in the first half, going into halftime at 17-10, and the final score ended up 20-3. What do you take away from tonight's game?
The 49ers are horrible. They are, and it's good to watch, finally. I don't know if anyone else thought this, but when you're watching Colin Kaepernick, everyone, I think deep inside, secretly rooted for, I can't wait till this douche just gets creamed, just till he just falls off. Everyone on the Colin Kaepernick bandwagon, I remember watching him just beat that Green Bay team with those little runs and with that smirky little grin and kiss his bicep. You just wanted to see him get creamed. And he did tonight. I mean, I was watching that game. He just got demolished. And even when he would make it out of the pocket and try, he just can't throw. I saw one. He made it out of the pocket. It's a 3rd and 3, I think, or 3rd and 4. And he just dribbled the ball right into the guy's feet, right? Just a terrible noodle arm throw. So I think it's good to watch him completely come down to earth. And the 49ers are absolutely terrible. I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are very good. And until they beat a decent team, I'm not going to admit that I think they're even partially good. But to say that they're any better because they beat an absolutely terrible 49ers team is not going to happen.
You know, we do a lot of talking about how people look. So, you know, last night we talked about the perfection that is Tom Brady. Tonight we're going to go ahead and talk about the ugliness that is Colin Kaepernick. A lot of people have compared him to look like Squidward from SpongeBob SquarePants. Another person said he looks like Screech from Saved by the Bell. It's unfortunate when you have those little itty bitty beady eyes and that really big prominent nose in the front of your face. And then he goes and has moments where he does something completely douchebaggish, like wears a Miami Dolphins hat and puts himself on Twitter holding the hat with one eyebrow peaked up like he thinks he's The Rock. I can't stand this guy. I honestly want to beat him up. It's weird. I've never had a real hatred. I have a hatred for him. It's weird. I haven't had a hatred for a quarterback like this since John Elway. And it's sad because, you know, we got Horseman and Squidward. It's sad to have this like feelings of just utter hatred for the guy. His shoe room and all the other things that he has going for him. It's ridiculous. The guy is like a kid who never grew up, but he grew up in such a crummy part of town that all he does is just, he doesn't fit the mold of a quarterback. Quarterbacks are supposed to be the face of the franchise. He's the face of douchedom, and it's not cool. it bothers me to watch him parade around, especially when you get the polar opposite on the other side of the field with the way he handles himself with Russell Wilson. Now, say what you will about Russell Wilson as far as his ego and all the other things that are there, but this is a guy who's well-crafted and put together a media image that's made him not only a quarterback but a celebrity. Colin Kaepernick could never do that. So tonight, Russell Wilson went 18 for 24 with 235 yards, 9.8 yard average. He threw one touchdown but two picks. My thought on those two picks is good for him. I know it sounds weird, but Russell Wilson's been playing very conservatively, and this is an opportunity for him to actually throw a couple interceptions. You're not a good quarterback if you're just keeping the ball safe and not taking chances. He took some chances, so good for him. What do you see about the way Russell Wilson is currently playing? His stats are down. His QBR is down. And now the Seahawks are 3-4 and are beating a team like the 49ers on the road on Thursday. Is this a sign that Russell Wilson might be turning some things around?
No. This is no different than he's ever played. Those pedestrian stats are just like he's always had. 200 yards. One touchdown, you said? Yeah, one touchdown and two interceptions. Shocking. That's how Russell Wilson's always played. He's not Drew Brees. He's never going to be an amazing passer. He can throw a nice pass every now and then, but most of the time he's going to have pedestrian stats. He was covered up by a really good defense. In this game, the only reason they won is the return of Marshawn Lynch. He played great. What do you have, 100-something yards and a touchdown, right? They established the run. That's how they've always been good, because then they can run the ball, and then Russell Wilson can make a couple of passes. He can run the ball. He ran, took a couple himself. That's how this team wins, but it's definitely not on the arm of Russell Wilson, because that arm is not that good.
Talking about Marshawn Lynch, he did have 27 carries for 122 yards. That equaled a 4.5 yard average on touchdown. His nice break was a 17-yard run in the first quarter where he just basically went straight up the middle and ended up getting tackled by the safeties. Thomas Rawls, though, he had 6 carries for 32 yards and a 5.3-yard average and also another 17-yard run. Yes, they do seem to be very run-heavy with over 41 runs tonight compared to only 24 passes.
Russell Wilson can't throw the ball.
Russell Wilson was able to hook up with Tyler Lockett for 5 receptions, 79 yards on only 5 targets. He also had a nice touchdown pass to him on a 43-yard strike to the man. I see a quarterback who stayed inside of his own type of game. He didn't do anything too spectacular, but he didn't do anything also to hurt the team. What do you think? I mean, here we got
two picks.
Two picks is one of which was in the end zone right before the end of the half, and he maybe was pushing it, but yeah, he took a team and was already up by 17 points. Why not, take a couple of chances at that point to try to put some of the nail in the coffin before the half? Why not take some of those chances?
Good game by Seattle. Boost their confidence a little bit. Get a win. Everyone this is what it is. They got a slump buster. They went to the bar. They found the fat girl. It's 1 in the morning, and they got a win. Good for them. That's all it is.
So let's talk about San Francisco's setup on defense. Navarro Bowman, after that grueling injury in the NFC Championship almost 2 years back, is now coming back, and he had 10 tackles, 6 solo tackles, a whole bunch of assisted tackles. Is he finally back to form? Is this team going to get better and better as he gets more football in shape?
No. I mean, if it wasn't for him and Aaron Lynch, that team would have nobody. They're not getting better. This team is on the decline. Is Navarro, am I glad to see him back? Good for him. That was a grueling injury, and he's a great player. Is he enough and Aaron Lynch to make this team good? Definitely not. They're led by a greasy, kind of chubby guy that is frightening to look at on the sidelines, and you can tell the team is just not there. Looking at Kaepernick just get abolished on every single play. The guy was running for his life. I mean, they weren't good at running anymore. And then when he was trying to throw, until they fixed the problems with that offense, a couple guys on defense aren't going to make any difference. They're going to continue to lose.
Phone lines are open if you'd like to make a comment about tonight's game. It's 347-850-8627. Get those Shock the Jock submissions in, 77948. Type the word text, space, and then the message. We've just gotten about five more in the last 5 minutes, so people know that Shock the Jock is coming and are looking forward to possibly seeing Matt deal with his first electrocution. Back to the game. Okay, we saw really an average defense, though, on the Seattle side. However, they were able to keep Seattle to only 3 points all game. They didn't do anything aside from rush passer that really sparked things up, in my opinion. Their secondary didn't need to really do much of anything. These weren't coverage sacks. These were, oh my God, my line sucks so bad that I don't have time to throw by Colin Kaepernick. Seattle's defense...
He was under pressure all night. It was pretty brutal.
He really was. But is this a sign that the defense in Seattle is beginning to get better? To me, on paper, in the stats, in the stat line, they look great. But aside from that offensive, defensive line play, I didn't see anything that really blew my hair back.
No. I'm telling you, it's a slump buster. That's it. They got an easy win against a crappy team. Seattle is not back, and I won't think so until they actually have a real game against someone that's decent. Because when they played a decent team, they've played some good teams. They played Carolina, and they played Cincinnati. And you know what they came out of those with? A loss. And that's the real Seattle Seahawks. So until they can redeem themselves and play a decent game against a tough team, then I'll say that they're getting better. But right now, all this is a slump buster. It's good for a little bit of confidence. Now they can take it up a step and hopefully try and pick up a better-looking one.
In 10 days, the Seattle Seahawks play the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, a game that I'm actually hoping to get to. Do you see this as a nice transition to a struggling Dallas team right now? And with the fact that they play the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Steelers, Vikings, Ravens, could we possibly see the beginning of a turnaround? Because they're coming up scheduled does not look too tough.
No, it's not too hard, but they're not too good. So I'll be surprised if they come out of that stretch with two or three wins. You know what I'm thinking about? You know what I think about when I think about this? How bummed is Torrey Smith to be? The guy came from a fairly decent team. I mean, where he was getting a decent amount of targets. He's just on it. He's just relegated to oblivion now. I mean, there's nothing. He had one good game, and the rest of the year has just been nothing. I saw his frustration working against Richard Sherman. They can't get him the ball to save their lives. He's got to just be hating his life.
What about Dwayne Bowe in the same situation? Goes from one team and all of a sudden just completely disappears off the face of the planet. This receivers and quarterback chemistry cannot be overstated enough. I've seen. Oh.
Yeah, that's like a totally different situation. Dwayne Bowe sucks. Torrey Smith is still good. Dwayne Bowe's not playing because he's not good, and they have better receivers on the team. Torrey Smith is the best receiver on that team next to Anquan Boldin, and could be made a case that he's probably a little better just because he's younger, but he's not getting the ball. Kaepernick's not throwing the ball well, and he's not throwing the ball to anyone. He has no chemistry with anyone on the team because he can't get out of the pocket. He's getting creamed. So I don't see this as the same thing at all. Torrey Smith is a legit good player, and on a decent team with a decent line and quarterback play, he would be getting good stats and getting open, and he was getting open tonight. Kaepernick's just not finding him because he's not finding anybody.
Let me explain why Torrey Smith isn't getting the looks. Mike Tomsula is one of those offensive coordinators who believes in the right to left or the primary to secondary sort of receiver progression sort of guy. He has Anquan Boldin set up as the number one receiver. Now, Anquan Boldin already has difficulty getting open because he's not a blazer. He's not one of those like super fast guys. He's the type of guy who uses his size to block out defenders to make the catches. So if Colin Kaepernick doesn't immediately see him open, he goes immediately to Vernon Davis. The next person on the progression of the left to the or the right to the left sort of read as the quarterback goes. Now, Vernon Davis should be somewhere around the middle of the field. And then by the time That happens. It then has to go to Torrey Smith. So he's the third read in that progression on most cases, like when you're running a pro set or an I formation. Torrey Smith being that third read, he was lucky to even get one target with how little time Colin Kaepernick had back to pass tonight. So ultimately, I see Torrey Smith not necessarily being a bad receiver, just not having enough of an offensive line to get that last read look. And hopefully, eventually, Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith end up taking switching sides of the field. That will bring down Anquan Boldin's targets and abilities. Tonight he had 7 targets, 3 receptions for 39 yards. But Torrey Smith only had that one target. And I believe Torrey Smith has a better chance of getting open, which would
definitely does.
Yes, which would give Colin Kaepernick that first target that he needs because his offensive line is so terrible. At least
so better question here. Does Tom Sula make it through the season?
Tom Sula shouldn't make it through the season. Ron Jeremy, Tom Sula, he needs to go back to his poor career and just move on and do something else, honestly. This is a guy who actually was a World League coach, and that's the only type of head coaching experience he had before he took the head coaching job for the San Francisco 49ers. The guy is just not ready, and he never will be ready. It's time for them to start looking at different ideas. And I see Sean Payton as a possibility for a replacement coach next year in the San Francisco Bay Area. With that, let's go ahead and move to that favorite time because we are running out of time tonight to Shock the Jock. One moment, we are having technical difficulties. If you'll stay with me, we'll be with you in just a second.
Just read the text. We got it. Nash is playing with the text machine. Keep texting him in because he's going to read them in just a second. Or he's not going to read them in just a second, and you get to listen to me chat for a little while. Either way, looks like I have escaped another night without getting shocked. Nash likes to talk about the Seattle Seahawks like they're amazing, but the reality is they're not good. They're not going to be good this year. They were good for a couple years, and frankly, I think that was a fluke that they were good for a couple years. They had a great, not a fluke, they had a great defense, and that's about it. I think just like Colin Kaepernick is coming down to earth, Russell Wilson will come down to earth, and it's going to be a lot harder fall than Colin Kaepernick's was. Russell Wilson doesn't have a great arm. He doesn't make amazing reads. He can run the ball, and he's got good instincts, and that's about it. And eventually teams are going to catch on to that, just like they're catching on to Colin Kaepernick. The line sucks. He's going to get hit hard, and his body's going to start wearing on him, and he's not going to be taken off as much. So eventually we're going to see that team continue to decline until they suck, just like they do now. And it's nice that I get a chance to talk about this without Nash jumping in to back them up all the time, because he's just a homer fan when it comes to them. So I think you see them come out next week and probably put up a loss. Keep in mind, I don't have a whole lot of room to talk. I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they are competing for the number one pick in the draft this year. My hope is that they get it. I'm now rooting for any team that plays against them, because if they can get the number one pick, or at least somewhere in the top five, hopefully they can draft a decent quarterback, because that's the answer. Andy Reid and Alex Smith at this point have to go. Well, looks like that's it, guys. We've had a pleasure talking to you tonight. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. Have a great one.